God. Praise God.
Praise the name of the
Lord. To be with you, I trust that the Lord will minister to you today. I got to tell you, I woke up this morning at 3 o'clock in the morning, and the Lord put this message on me at 3 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, I got 2 hours to get myself a little bit more sleep, and then I got to hit this thing hard in the morning, as hard as I could hit it, study. I didn't have this really lined up to go. But I believe the Lord's going to help me today to minister to you the word of the Lord. I'd like to turn your attention to the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, verse 14. How many believe that we're living in an amazing time and soon upon the coming of the Lord? And when we say soon, it may be years down the road, but in relative terms, even if it were years or whether it's in the next hour, He is coming.
Right.
In relative terms, we at least understand Jesus is about to wrap this thing up. How many believe that? We're getting close to home time. I really do believe that. I believe there's other scriptures by our understanding that have to be fulfilled. But I'm going to live my life. I'm determined I'm going to live my life like He's coming in the next 5 minutes. Because if I misunderstand Scripture or I miss something, then I've made a giant mistake.
Right.
I've always been taught all my life in living for God. Son, you're supposed to live your life for God and plan like He's got coming for 100 years and live your life like He's coming in the very next breath that you breathe. And I really do believe that still. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14 says this: If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Brother Watson, would you lead us in prayer?
Lord, we thank you this morning for the service. We
thank you, Lord, for your presence. Oh,
your word, and how we ask you, Lord, to anoint the servant.
God,
Lord, to bring forth the word today. We ask you, Lord, to anoint our ears.
Speak to us, Lord.
Help
us to be sensitive to the word of the Lord.
Feel somebody with the Holy Ghost today.
Yes,
oh God.
Yes, oh God.
Break the chains.
We agree together, Lord. We agree together, oh God.
Set them free.
Let there be agreement in your people today for this today. Lord, let there be an agreement. In Jesus' name. You may be seated. In Jesus' name. You know, this scripture has been quoted in my hearing for as long as I can recall. Sister Taylor, this scripture is something that we've leaned on and we've treasured and we've called out when we see our world shaping up to the situation and circumstances that we are in. We understand that this nation that we live in, we do need a healing. And sometimes, even in a local assembly, in churches, in the movement, in period, there comes a time that the Lord is calling on us to repent, and He's calling us to call upon His name and to turn from our wicked ways. And the thing about it always struck out to me, and is that when I read this scripture, I read it in a certain way. I received it in a certain way. And the way that I always received it and looked at it, and maybe you're different, but I gotta believe you're probably like me. When you heard this scripture quoted, when you heard this verse, it says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray."
Yeah.
And what struck me and the way I received it was, okay, you need to humble yourself. You're not praying. You're not praying. You're carnal. You need to turn to prayer and you need to begin to pray. That's the way that I always received it. And then the second part of that we always emphasize, and rightfully so, we rightfully emphasize, and says, and seek my face.
Yeah.
We need to seek the face of God like we have never sought the face of God. I'm convinced more than ever, if there ever was a time to seek the face of God, to gain understanding, to gain an understanding, to see God move in our midst. If we're ever going to see God move in our midst, we're going to have to seek His face.
Right.
And then it's always been emphasized to turn from our wicked ways.
Right.
Because we acknowledge that there is some wickedness in the humanity, in our frame, that must be turned from. God is not going to hear us. And God is not going to move in our midst if we refuse to turn from our wicked ways.
Right.
If we say, He'll just bless me despite it all, then we are fooling ourselves. Though it's been said many, many times for us that we must turn from our wicked ways.
Right.
And He said, then I will hear from heaven. Somebody say it with me. Then I will hear from heaven. And I will forgive their sin. And I will heal their land. But I'm here to tell you, I think that we're missing something key. And I've entitled this message, The Missing First Part. The missing first part. Because He said this, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray.
Yeah.
You see, it's not just enough that we are going to pray. I can prove to you that there are many types of prayers and various prayers. But the Lord is calling for something specific when He says, I want you to humble yourselves before you even begin to pray. I want you to begin to humble yourselves and to pray. I want your prayers to be specific prayers. I want them to be prayers of humility. I'm here to tell you, if there ever was a day and time for you and I to have a self-awareness in the Spirit and to humble ourselves down before God, it's right now. We need to humble ourselves before God.
Hallelujah.
And when I gained this understanding and I began to think about this, and the Lord began to talk to me about this, I said, Lord, our prayer life needs to be revolutionized. And the first thing that we need to do is that we need to get an attitude.
Come on.
Now, sometimes we always recognize the other part and we say, oh, that person's got an attitude. Well, let me tell you, there's more than one kind of an attitude. I recognize there's some bad attitudes and some attitudes that we don't like or we don't want to deal with. But there are other types of attitudes. And I'm here to tell you that we need an attitude.
Yes.
Amen.
It's the attitude of humility. You see, we need to understand what real humility is. Humility is not the fake things that some people make it out to be. You see, some people, if you pay them an honest compliment, and I'll be honest, I'll stick my hand up here. I've had times that the Lord anointed me, did real good, and somebody said, well, man, the Lord used you, or whatever. And you know, I try to, this little false humility, well, that didn't do so great. And the part of that is an honest thing because I want to keep myself without thinking more highly of myself than I should. But there's a part of that that's not sincere because I know that the Lord used me. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
And so it becomes a false thing that sometimes people put out there that it's not a real humility. But you must understand that humility is not acts. It's not individual acts. Humility is an attitude.
All right.
Humility is an attitude, and it's an attitude of gratitude. When you understand, you have the attitude, yeah, the Lord bless me, but I'm nothing. When compared to Him, He's so great, He's so awesome, He's so powerful. I need Him desperately every day. I understand, Brother Miles, that I am nothing without Him.
Yeah.
Is the spirit of humility. When I can walk among you and love you and appreciate your gifts and your talents and your work for God and not elevate myself any higher than you. That is humility. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God. The Bible says this in Micah 6:8. He hath He hath the old man. He said to me, I wrote it down. Oh man, what is good? And what doth the Lord require? Somebody say the Lord requires. Of thee. But to do justly.
Yes.
And to love mercy.
Yes.
And to walk humbly with thy God.
Amen.
You see, that's the attitude.
Yes.
He said it's a requirement. You've got to walk humbly with your God. But we've got a problem, Brother Watson, if we get honest. It's not natural to our nature to humble ourselves.
Come on.
You have to take on an attitude. I said you got to take on an attitude that says, I will humble myself before God. And I know that I'm not going to get anything that I'm trying to get unless I'm willing to humble myself before God. I am self-deceived. I am self-righteous unless I am willing to recognize my need of God. I have to humble myself now.
Amen.
Now, that's the reason we typically stop.
Come on.
On our knees, and you know, some people are not able to get on your knees. That's understandable. I'm not here to knock you. But what I am here to say, that the reason that we say to ourselves, I need to try to get on my knees as best I can before God if I'm physically able, because I'm putting a posture on my attitude. Come on, it's time to get an attitude with God, an attitude of true humility, an attitude that says, Lord, you will reign supreme, and I am nothing, but it doesn't matter what my insufficiencies are, you overcome them all. That's true humility. When you understand who God really is.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
So it's a requirement. 1 Samuel 15:17. Look at this. This is the prophet talking to Samuel. When thou wast little in thy own eyes, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? Samuel, when you were little, in your own eyes, were you not made the head of the tribes of Israel? You see, I'm acceptable to God when I see myself small.
Amen.
I said I'm acceptable and usable by God when I see myself small. But the problem was that Saul reached a place where he no longer saw himself as small. He saw his might as a powerful king. He did begin to see his ability to cross over from where he was, even to the place that he had no business, into the priesthood, and take things into his own hands, because he no longer saw himself small. And what am I saying to us? If we're going to be what God is pleased with, we're going to have to see ourselves small. We're going to have to see ourselves so much in need of God, and so much willing to pray, hallelujah, with humility, we're going to have to humble ourselves before Him.
Amen.
When you seek out in the Old Testament what God did when sin was in the midst, what did He do? Well, one of the things, he had them to fast. Well, one of the reasons why He had them to fast is simply this: fasting is a part of, and helps us in the direction of humility.
Right.
And that's the reason God instituted fasting. As you can tell, I don't fast enough. I've got to do it more. I recognize that I have to humble myself if I'm going to see God do what He wants to do in my life. And He gave this message not just for you, but He gave this message for me. It's time for us to understand the powerful place of humility. That God can use us when we see ourselves small.
Right.
And we see Himself great. No wonder you mentioned John the Baptist. It was John the Baptist said that He must increase. But He didn't stop saying He must increase. He said, I must decrease. I got to get smaller. He's got to get bigger. I'm telling you, God wants to move among us. But we've got to get to the place of humility in our prayer. We've got to humble ourselves like we've never humbled ourselves before. I want God to move in our midst. I don't want my flesh. must increase. 1 Peter. Let's turn to 1 Peter 5. Verse 5 and 6. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility.
Come on.
I said, be clothed with humility.
Yes.
You see, God clothed Himself in flesh by putting on flesh.
Yes.
And if we're going to be clothed in humility,
yes,
God does not say, come here.
No.
I'm going to clothe you in humility. Yes. You know who has to clothe me in humility? The fellow you're looking at right here.
Yes.
If I don't clothe myself in humility, then all I'm left with is the filthy rags of self-righteousness.
Amen.
I have to clothe myself in humility.
Yes.
And that's what he said. And he just went on to say this. He says, likewise, the younger, submit yourselves to the elder. You see, if you don't have what I'm talking about, if you do not have a spirit of humility, you will never submit yourself to the elder. But while we need the exuberance and the excitement of the youth, you need the wisdom of the elder. You need to submit yourself to the wisdom and the guidance of the elder. He's looking out for your interest. He cares for you. He's looking out for you. And it goes on to say this. Not only that, but he said, yea, all of you be subject one to another. You'll never do that unless you have a spirit of humility. And what am I telling you? I'm telling you we need to help and encourage and put on this humility. But not only have this humility, we must take this same humble spirit into the prayer closet. Because if we'll take this lifestyle and this humility into the prayer closet, the devil's not going to be able to withstand it. Why? Because we're going to be in line with heaven. We're going to be in line with authority. We're going to be in line with the Word of God. And he's not going to be able to refuse.
Man.
He's not going to be able to do what he wants to do. Because flesh that is lined up with God and the will of God, well, what do you have if you're the devil to work on? We are to be clothed with humility. Hallelujah.
Bless him, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It's an attitude of gratitude. It's an attitude that puts God in His proper place. It's an attitude that puts lost humanity, come on, listen to me, in its proper place. Because instead of despising their ways and wishing God would wipe them off the face of the earth, we remember the pit from which we were dug if we have a spirit of humility.
Amen.
I said instead of wishing them dead and wishing it was over with, we get a spirit of compassion about us if we have a spirit of humility. We say, Lord, I remember the pit from which I was dug. I remember what I used to do. I remember my old lifestyle. I remember what you brought me out of, Lord. And it would change our mentality to the lost. It's an attitude that allows us to do as we are commanded in Galatians 6 and 2, which says, bear ye one another's burdens. And watch this. Is it important? Is it a necessity? Yes. You know why? Because he just finished it. He says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law. Somebody said it with me. The law of Christ. We're supposed to bear one another. fulfill the law of Christ. And you cannot do this, nor will you do this, without humility that you clothe yourself in, that you literally put on. But if you'll take what I'm talking about today and put it to use and say, Lord, I'm going to go down because the only way up, I've got to go down. But if you're willing, and it's not easy sometimes, but if you're willing to put on humility, if you're willing to do it the Bible way, then you're going to find yourself ministering to people and having an impact in people's lives. I don't know about you, but that's what I want to do. I'm not here just to occupy time. Sister, I'm here because I want to impact your life. I want to impact the world. I want to impact them for Christ. I want to show them a Savior that's so great. I want to show them a Savior that's so awesome. And when I come to this house, I want to show you that the Lord is with me so that I might help you and encourage you and instruct you.
Amen. Good preaching.
It allows us to do as we're instructed in Romans 12 and 10, where it says, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. In honor. I'm gonna be real upfront with you. I used to when I first started preaching, I had a preacher friend. I served under this man of God, loved him like a brother, real good man. But he used to tell me, he'd say, "Hey," because he was licensed, I wasn't licensed with the organization, the UBC.
That's good.
But he said, "Hey, I want you to go with me to one of these functions. I want you to see what it's like." And the reason he wanted me to go, because he knew it would be an eye-opener on how they talk to one another, treating one another.
Come on.
I didn't want to go. I don't care to see anything discouraging. I know how people act up. I honestly, I mean, I didn't end up going. I didn't just refuse to go. But I honestly, I'm kind of glad I didn't go. Because
yes.
I know how people are. And they, instead of honoring one another, they blasted one another over disagreement.
Yeah.
How are we fulfilling the law of Christ if we can't do this simple thing? But you see, here's the point. Will you get this point with me, please? These men can pray. They have the ability to pray and to preach. Outpreach circles around them. They have all of this ability, but yet they talk to one another and don't honor one another. Why? Because the spirit of humility is absent from them. The spirit of humility is not present. And then we wonder why our revivals and why our ministry as a whole is limited. We see things. God is good to us. We see things. We experience things by the grace of God. But I cannot help but ask, how much more would we see if we would get the basics down right? How much more would we see if we really loved one another and honored one another according to the Scripture? How in the world can we say who we are and then we treat one another in such a casual manner? God is not pleased with it. I'm convinced God is not pleased with it. You're going to give an answer to God if you don't repent, if you don't have enough of integrity to say I was wrong. Hallelujah. True humility will keep you doing the right thing in the secret places when nobody else knows what's going on but you and God. But humility will keep you right. Humility will say, Lord, I know who I am. I know the wretched man that I am. I know my way, oh God. I know the carnality. I know my way. I need your grace. see, this was modeled for us. And when Jesus said, and He gave us the description of the publican, and He said, let's look at it together. I overshot it a little bit. Let's go to it. It's found in Luke chapter 18. Luke 18. Go there as quick as I can. Try to rush on. Luke 18 says this, verse 10. Two men went into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank Thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican standing afar off, when I lift up his head, when I lift up so much as his eyes into heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, the man that went down to his house justified.
Yes. Amen.
Rather than the other, for everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased.
Amen.
But he that humble himself,
amen,
shall be exalted.
Yes.
Jesus gave us the perfect example of who has a spirit of humility. This person that had a spirit of humility did not have all the advantages of the other person. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be judged by God having all the advantages that I have. And He looked and said to you, giver, really humble yourself to me and pray like you could have prayed with this person without God. I simply said, God, I need your mercy and grace. Spoke themselves. We tell you, the Bible says this. It says, rend your heart, not your garments.
Uh-huh.
And you know what, brother? I can relate to that. You know why? Because I literally have found myself doing this. I get distraught with myself and aggravated with myself if I do something I shouldn't, slip up. And in my prayers, I find myself doing this. Unconsciously tugging at my clothing. Unconsciously, Brother Evans, tugging at my clothing. So when the Lord says, rend your heart and not your garments, I get it. I truly get it. I get it. And that's where we're at right now, folks. We need to rend our hearts and not our garments. When we start rending ourselves in our flesh, it's time to say, wait a second. I'm pushing on the wrong thing. I'm stressing out clothing when I need to be stressing out my heart in the face of God and in the fear of God in His presence. I need to be stressing myself and not my clothing. Is anybody like me, or I guess maybe I'm glad he's gone. You see, it's time for us to appreciate humility and what it really does for us.
Amen.
Because I'm here to tell you, an attitude of humility will ensure your walk with God is one full of integrity.
That's right.
Please hear me. This is so important. It will ensure, if you are full of true humility, it will ensure your life is full of integrity. So many men have ruined their testimony. Not because they did not have a great, powerful testimony. Not because that they didn't have the ability to orate. Not because that they didn't have ability to say, look what God has done for me. But they messed up their testimony. They messed it up because they did not have integrity in their life.
Come on.
If you don't have integrity, you're not measuring up to the stature of Christ.
Right.
Amen. Preach it, brother. Preach it.
I want to be like David. You see, David was a man of integrity, But first, he was a man of humility. Even the child that stood up to the giant. You say, my Lord, where's humility in that? Actually, when you know your God and you get things in order, you got humility. It's when you think you can do it by yourself that you don't have humility. Or it's when you think, because of who I am in God and where I stand in God's kingdom, I can say things to people that are hurtful and damaging and take certain positions. Why did they do this? Even though they have the Holy Ghost. And I told you a minute ago, they can pray. But I told you at the beginning, God is looking for a specific type of prayer. He's not looking for just any prayer right now. Why? Because we're trying to save a nation. You get this, please? We're trying to save a nation. We're trying to save assemblies that have gone astray. We're trying to save people that are lost and on their way to a devil's hell. And so therefore, we cannot be just any old kind of way in our prayer. Our prayer has to be full of humility. Our prayer has to drive us deep into the carpet. Our prayer has to drive us deep into intercession. Our prayer has to push us deep into intercessory prayer. To a prayer that moves mountains. It moves others. When they hear the prayer, they know they're hearing somebody that's touching the Lord.
Right. Hallelujah.
The effectual fervent prayers of a righteous man availeth much.
Amen.
What is your integrity like when you are correct and the anointed man of God and chosen ministry is wrong? David had every reason by our natural thinking to do what he wanted, because God, he could have told himself, God has placed Saul in my hand. He literally could have said, God has done this for me because I'm the new king. I'm the new head honcho. I'm the new anointed man. But his integrity would not allow that. And his humility would not allow that. So I'm asking you the question, what is your integrity like when you are correct and you know you're correct? And the man of God is not. What's going to be your attitude? Can you humble yourself? The Lord is right here. Can you humble yourself? Can you humble yourself? Can we humble ourselves when we are right and not just when we are wrong? Can I humble myself when I am in the right? And you, and anointed and others are wrong. Can I be a man of integrity and love God? Can I keep my integrity with God? Not just when I'm wrong, but when I'm right. Praise God. I'm trying to get there as fast as I can. An attitude of humility will always glory in the cross. I said an attitude of humility will always glory in the cross.
Amen.
Because it will never lose the perspective of the sacrifice that was made. When you have true humility, when you humble yourself down, the cross becomes centerpiece. Do you hear me? I said, when you humble yourself, the cross becomes centerpiece because you recognize the sacrifice that was made for you. And when you recognize the sacrifice that was made for you, it becomes easier to sacrifice your fleshly ways for others that need you to have a godly humility about you.
Right?
Not from the perspective of Christ only, but also a willingness to take up our very own cross. You see, humility will cause you to do what is so difficult that Jesus said. He said, take up your cross, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. And you see, you can't do it without humility. If you could have done it without humility, that rich young ruler that had done everything right but one thing would have been okay. He'd have been fine. It will honor the sacrifice. It will honor and acknowledge the sacrifice of the cross. When we live an attitude of humility, being mindful to give thanks because it is such a natural reaction, then needing a constant reminder of the goodness of God. I got to admit to you, I get a little bit annoyed when we come to the house of God and we got to push like trying to push a rock up a mountain. When we come to the house, we're supposed to be thankful. I bless His name and to be full of praise and glory and honor to Him. When our prayers are just prayers, we've prayed them 1,000 times. God, I need this. God, we need that. God, our world is falling apart. I'm getting more and more to the place that I refuse to think about the condition of the world because I'd rather think about a God that's in control of it all. I said I'd rather think about a God that is in control of it all. That's where true humility is.
Amen.
Because to not be full of humble heart is to think, well, let's see. Let me figure this out. Okay, A plus B equals C. This is happening next. This is going to go on next. And look what the mess that's made. But when Uncle Donald Trump gets in the office, it's going to all be fixed. I got news for you if you think that. You couldn't be more wrong.
Amen.
Let me tell you something. It's real bad. And if you, it's so bad, I would never imagine it being as bad as this. And we can talk all day about how bad it is, and our faith is going to diminish down, Brother Daniel, to about this high.
Right.
Or we can start talking about Jesus Christ, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and full of glory and full of honor.
This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. This joy that I have. Hallelujah.
Come on, am I right?
Yeah.
Now, what are we going to focus on? Come on, what are we going to focus on?
Come on.
We've got to make up our mind. I can tell you how to get to the right place. I'm trying to help you get to the right place with the right mindset. Help yourself. God, you know the mess we're in. You know what's going on. But I rebuke the spirits of dominion in my city. I rebuke the dominions, the power in Dundee, Florida. And we take authority over them in the name of Jesus. Be glorified, Jesus. Be honored, Jesus. Be praised, Jesus. Be adored, Jesus. That's the answer. It's humility. God, I don't have the answer. I don't know what's coming next. I don't know what's around the bend. It could be we could be taken over. Now, I wasn't going to tell you this, but I'm just going to tell you. You take it however you want to, because I got what I call, I guess my wife's always been a little bit of a difference of opinion, I guess, maybe, on dreams. She always looked at dreams as, well, this could not be real significant. I was like, I just had too much pizza last night. But I will say this. The Bible said in the last days, young men shall see visions, and your old men dream dreams. So I'm just going to share a dream, and you take it. If it lifts your faith, so be it. If you think I had too much pizza, that's up to you. Brother Brown, I had a dream about the coming of the Lord, and I've never in all my life had a dream about the coming of the Lord. Never. And the thing that's really got me in the dream, Sister Agatha, was this. We were in a military situation. We were expecting incoming bombs. And we had other bombers going out. And I remember looking up in the sky and to the clouds. And the clouds were doing stuff that they had never done before in the history, I guess, that I know of man. And they were rolling and rolling, and it was something that's even hard for me to begin to understand. And what hit me, Sister Agatha, was this. It's now is the time. Now he's about to split the clouds of glory. He's about to show himself like we've always believed and known that he would. Does it mean anything? I don't know. I wish the Lord would tell me that's for me. He hasn't said it. You can take it or do what you want to, but I just felt like sharing it with you. Because I do believe we've got to believe. Because let me tell you something. The Bible says plainly that in the last days, they're going to begin to say, where is His coming? Where is His coming? We're going to need somebody somewhere with a vision and a dream. Oh, I feel that Holy Ghost. I said, somewhere with all of the negativity. And listen, we don't know what we're about to go through. But it could be we're going to be looking at one another and we're going to be hearing all the people that we used to go to church with say, hey, yeah, look what's happening. And we've been talking about the coming of the Lord for all this time. And it hadn't happened yet.
Mm-hmm.
Scoffers, the Bible said, will come in the last day.
Man.
Again, we need to pray, recognize that not all prayer is equal. Not all prayers bring results. James 4:3 says, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. The Lord has told us to be humble and to humble ourselves in prayer and to get an attitude. I'm preaching, Brother Miles, for you to get an attitude.
Man, thank you.
Not the kind of attitude that says, Pastor, why'd you do this? And Pastor, why'd you do that? And why's the sermon? No, I'm asking you to get an attitude that says, Lord, you're in control. I love you supremely. I want you to have everything in my life. I want you to have all of me, Lord. It's time for us to pray in the right mindset. For
the
things which are eternal, I'm down to the wire.
Amen.
Praying in a mind of humility will bring us
yes.
to a place of brokenness.
Come on.
Come on. One thing I found out in the Scripture, Brother Evans, is things lead to another.
Amen.
God has a way of putting what I call breadcrumbs out. You go take this breadcrumb out, and you say, hey, there's another breadcrumb, and it leads you in a certain direction. God's always done that with me. And I believe that praying will bring us to a place, with humility, will bring us into a different place. Now, you might think that humility and brokenness are the same thing, but I'm here to tell you it's not quite the same thing. Humility is an attitude, but brokenness is a state. You don't stay broken forever. Right? You don't stay broken forever, but there are times that we need to be broken.
Amen.
He said, a broken and a contrite spirit. He won't despise that. So what it does is this state of humility takes us to another level for a little while called a broken and a contrite spirit. And a broken and a contrite spirit will lead us to a spirit-led life. Come on now.
Amen.
To a spirit-led life.
Amen.
You know what I preached to you not long ago? They that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So when we are broken, then the Spirit is starting to rule and to reign, and it's a spirit-led life. A spirit-led life will lead to a complete and total surrender of our will. Come on, this is very key right here. You got to get this. It leads to a complete and total surrender of our will. When our will goes away, anything can happen spiritually. God can do anything with us. Why? For one thing, we're not constantly having to repent because we mess up. The will's broken. It's spirit power. It's spirit anointing. It's spirit led. So that when Jesus was led into the wilderness, even if we get led into a situation, we always come out right because we went into it with a spirit of humility and we followed step by step by step by step. When you totally have your will broken, then sin doesn't have dominion over you any longer. The will of God in our lives will lead us to the power of God being demonstrated in our... Are you following this?
Amen.
Please follow this, because it's in an order for a reason. The will of God in our lives will lead us to the power of God being demonstrated in our life. Come on, this church wasn't found in a Baptist fashion. This church was not founded on the day of Pentecost in easy believism. This church was born in the supernatural. And we cannot accept anything other than the supernatural power of God. We need the power and the demonstration of the Holy Ghost. He didn't stop healing. He didn't stop healing people. He didn't stop doing miracles. I've heard a report of the blind eyes being opened on foreign fields. Is God the God only of the foreign field? Or is He only the God there? Or is He the God everywhere? You know the reason we don't see it? We're not humbling ourselves to pray. They go into it, Brother Watson, with nothing. There's no false sense of errors. There's no, okay, Lord, it doesn't. If I can choose to do this or not do this. They are literally depending for many times their health and their life for the miracle working power to be demonstrated among them. They desperately need it, and because they desperately need it, they humble themselves. I said they humble themselves, and they will pray for however long it takes to see it. My Bible tells me God is no respecter of persons. He's not a respecter of them. He's not going to anoint them and not anoint you. He's not going to anoint those ministers and not anoint us. It's a matter of what are we going to do when we're challenged. And we are challenged by this scripture because He said, those called by my name to humble themselves, to pray. We've got to do what it takes.
Yes.
But God wants to demonstrate Himself. Don't tell me we can't see blind eyes open. Don't tell me we can't see ears that are stopped up be open. Don't tell me we can't see cancers fall off. Don't you tell me that it cannot happen. Don't tell me, because I won't believe it. I said, I will not believe it. It's happened too many times in our past for us to accept that. But I'm here to tell you, there is a Spirit at work. I said, there is a Spirit at work that says it don't take on it. There's a Spirit at work that says, well, if we got it, we got it. If we don't, we don't. But again, the demonstration of the Spirit will lead to an awareness of a real and a legitimate church in this immediate world, in our immediate world. I'm going to say it again. The demonstration of the Spirit will lead to an awareness of a real and legitimate church in the world. You know why? Because the Lord's going to make Himself known. And it don't matter how many devils don't like it. It don't care how many people don't like it. God's going to make Himself known. Hallelujah. And the awareness of a true and powerful church will lead to the widespread declaration of a saving gospel message. You see, He didn't have to establish it the way He did it. There's a lot of ways He could have established the church. But He chose to establish it in a supernatural way. Now, I was taught to me many, many years ago, and I've always embraced it. Since then, the Lord started His church like He wanted, and now He's coming back for a church like He started. I don't see the Lord getting shortchanged, do you? Now, He said in His Word, He said He could take stones up when Israel fought it. You got to have what you stuck with us. Oh, no. Oh, no, Israel. The Lord's able to take stones and create Him a whole other nation. So we can dig ourselves in the ground and put our heels in the ground and say, we don't take all that. We're fine just like we are. But God can replace me. And here's what it will lead to ultimately. The ultimate. It's going to lead to sons and daughters being born into the kingdom. And I'm here to tell you my last statement. Our nation does in fact need the healing that is described in this passage of Scripture. Amen. Here's the thing. We have the ability to enact it by praying what we have been told for years and years and years works. Are we finally going to put it? For you see, I believe we've missed that first thing. If you'll humble yourself. Now, I've preached as best I know how. Now, Brother Watson, are we going to humble ourselves? Or would you grab? Are we going to open up this altar right now? Those that says, I'm willing to humble myself before the Lord. Because I need Him. I know we need prophecies. We need old men having dreams. And we need young men. We need all the fulfillment of the Word of God. Is there somebody here today that says, Lord, I want to be humble before You. I'm going to humble myself in prayer. My prayers are not going to be the prayers I've always prayed. But starting today, my prayers are going to be powerful and dynamic. But they're going to begin with a humble spirit. They're going to begin with a humble spirit. They will say, here's the song. Here I am, Lord. Take me to You. this again. You find that place that you can be touched and moved by the Holy Ghost like you used to. There's a place of tenderness. Would you reach out to God in your tenderness today? Would you reach out to God in your spirit of humility? Say, Lord, I'm humbling myself before you.
thy people which are called by my name.
Yes, sir.
Humble themselves and pray. Seek his face. Amen. Turn from their wicked ways. Then will he forgive their sin.
Yes,
sir. And heal their land. This land's not going to be healed today until, but like Brother Marsh said today, until the church humbles themselves.
Right.
Fall on their face and begin to cry out, God, we need you. We need you. Whether it's God, we need you to come get us and take us home, or what? We need him in this place. Amen. We need these young people. Thank God for you young people that are getting in this altar. Thank you,
Lord.
Amen. I told Brother Daniel, I said, you are a blessed man of God.
Amen.
Amen. To have all, not just one or two of them, but all of your children in the altar seeking God. That is a blessing.
Amen.
That a lot of families would kill for.
Right.
Amen. To have that. Thank God for that.
Amen.
I want to thank God today for Brother Brown's daughter and family.
Yes. Amen.
Here today. We need y'all, whether y'all know it or not, we need y'all to be here. Amen. So we need y'all part of the church.
Yes, amen.
I know Daddy does too, don't you, Daddy?
Bless us, sir.
Amen. So let's pray for one another. Lord willing, this coming Friday, we'll have the fence up, probably Friday and Saturday. Put the fence up. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank those that bought some of the shirts that we've got back there. So we ask you to just, you know, anybody else that wants one, amen. You can't buy a shirt with that material and scriptures on it. The scriptures alone is worth $25. Amen. So if you want one, they're $25 and they're in my office, and if you want to go in there in my office, feel free to, and look at the size of it. If it fits you, your size, that's good. We'll fit you right up, and maybe if your size is not in there, the next batch we'll get will have your size in. So let's pray. Amen. For those shirts to go, because if they go, it'd be about $300 or $400 there in the, you know, to go toward the fence. I thank God that money's coming in for the fence. I think we've got about a little over $1,500 all total.
Amen.
And plus my $500 that I'll put in there for the fence. Amen. So we got like $2,000. And so, anybody has anything you want to give on, you know, we appreciate it. The guy says that he's putting out, he's going to put out nails and he's going to put out screws and stuff. And, amen. Church people. And so, my grandson came up and done the yard work this week. Had two screws in his tire, brand new tires, amen. Screws in his tires when he left here. So I'm sure he's doing it maybe just a little bit at a time, but he's really going to be mad when we put up the fence, because it's going to block him from using our property to go in and out. Amen. So we're not trying to be ugly. We wasn't ugly to start with. We shouldn't have to put up a fence. We shouldn't have to put one up. But it's his fault that we're putting up a fence. So I got to go down with the code enforcement on Monday or Tuesday. I've got to get this place on my head. They're going to cut another piece off of behind my ear, right? And put it on my head. pretty soon I'm going to start hearing from my head instead of my ears. I pray for that. They got some on my hand. They're going to cut them off too this week. So, but let's pray for all those that are not here. Brother Hooten them's on a little vacation, and thank God they're able to get out and go.
Amen.
And you see that porch that he built and that stairway down. That's beautiful. I'm telling you, it was beautiful. And so he needed a vacation after that. Praise God. So let's pray for them while they're gone. Amen. Let's continue to pray for one another. We thank God again. I don't want to just keep on about it, but we thank God again for Brother Matthew that has made Dundee's church. We thank God for that. Amen. He was here Tuesday night prayer meeting. He was here.
Amen.
That's always a good sign. Praise God. So let's come Tuesday night. Tuesday night is our prayer meeting. Amen. So let's pray about that. I tell you, just two or three services a week is not enough for me, really, but I survive it, Sister Taylor.